Right now it's 8:19 on the ticket. Let's talk man's best friend.
Really interesting story on 60 Minutes this past weekend about aging. Speaking of aging, is it a sign of aging when your favorite show starts to become 60 Minutes and CBS Sunday Morning?
Yes.
They have great features on it. They really do. And this one was by Anderson Cooper. And it really hit me because the work we do here at the Ticket with Jub Jam for the Senior Source and, you know, a soft spot for the elderly and for dogs. We're all dog lovers up here at the Ticket. And we have a dog that's getting older now. He's 11. Hold a good thought for Gunner. He's going to go have a procedure Friday morning. It's nothing too serious, but we just kind of wonder exactly what's going on with him because he's an older dog. And yeah, I know. Man, I may need like a week off for Gunner, who's
understandable.
Who's funner than your average silver lab. But this is a really interesting study that's going on right now that they highlighted and did a feature on in 60 Minutes. It is the Dog Aging Project, and it started in 2014, and they're starting to get results now because as they talk about, they had this revelation not too long ago, about a decade ago, that, wait, the dog's brain is shaped very similar to the human brain. They go through some of the same things that we do, and here's someone who can explain it a lot better. This is Dr. Matt Calibrine, who is one of the co-founders of this project, and he's talking to Anderson Cooper about how they started it and why they started it.
I had this light bulb moment, which I still remember vividly. I realized, oh my God, we know about 3 or 4 or 5 ways to slow aging in laboratory animals. Some of those are going to work in dogs.
You think that's possible?
Absolutely. I have no doubt that's possible. Mm. The biology of aging is so conserved or shared across the animal kingdom. Much of this works the same way in dogs. Much of it works the same way in people.
And this is a huge project. They have examined, and by examination, they have hundreds of clinics in on this around the country. They study diet, exercise, blood samples from the dogs, brain imaging from the dogs, and we're talking 50,000 dogs over the last 12 years now. And they're starting to see some of these results because as this animal neurologist, and they talk about this, I didn't know there was such a thing, but Stephanie McGrath was on this feature, and she talks about the similarities and what they're learning now because of the similarities in the brains of dogs and humans.
Right now, we are using mice and we are putting them through treatment trials, and then we go directly to human trials.
I've read that as many as 90% of the things that work in mice do not end up working in humans.
Right.
So to have something in between would be hugely beneficial.
Right. And not just another species, but a species that very closely mimic naturally occurring diseases of aging in humans. Cancer, dementia, all these diseases that we see as humans age occur in dogs.
One reason, they live alongside us and are exposed to the same environments. They exercise with us, eat our food, drink the same water. Also key, McGrath says, is the fact that dogs have shorter lives because they age faster than humans.
We can get a ton of information that would take decades to do in humans.
In a human being, if you wanted to do a lifelong study, obviously you would have to do it from the age of 1 to 60, 70, 80.
Exactly. So many decades versus 5, 10 years.
So now, see, we've hit that 5 to 10 year period and they're starting to see results. Mm-hmm. They're starting to see, you know, different things that affect it. It's a lot of it's stuff we've known, exercise, diet, and things like that. But they've also started to develop some medication that can not only extend the life, but extend the quality of life. And as they explained, it's not as if you're on your deathbed and you take a pill and it gives you another year. You start taking, this is rapamycin is the medication. And it has showed that it increases the quality of life by at least a year in dogs. And it's quality. It's it It stems some of the swelling in the brain, some of the fluid in the brain, and it's real results. And they've stepped that up now, and I think if they keep seeing these results, they're going to start using it in humans. And I just found it so interesting that as they showed these dogs going through some of the drills that they put them through to test their memory and their cognitive recognition, the dogs show similar traits that humans do with dementia, you know, kind of bumping in the walls. And
I had no idea dogs suffered from dementia.
They do. Yeah. And so they've seen this in the behavior of dogs and some of the treatments that they have tried and how it's working. Some of this is starting to work, and maybe they're getting close to help somebody out who has dementia. It sounded, the tone of this is like, they're starting to make some breakthroughs now, and a lot of it has been through this dog study. And I thought about this, because we all think, man, isn't it unfair that dogs just don't live as long? You know, they're like with my dog, a larger breed, it seems like if you get 11, 12, 13 years, that's a good long life for a large dog. Yeah. Seems like smaller dogs, you know, can go 13, 14, maybe 17 years. I had a friend, I had one that, you know, got to 17 years old. I think that's remarkable.
We all feel like they should get double, though.
Yeah, I want them around longer. But just think about it, though. Okay, so say we do extend the length and the quality of their lives, and they go to 21, 22, and 24. Is that going to be more heartbreaking because it's
maybe
even longer?
Yeah.
I don't know. I spent a lot of time thinking about that. Yes, that'll be better for them. But it's not going to help us. It almost will make it worse for us if they're a part of two decades of your life, and then they're gone. I wonder how that's going to go.
So we need to make it to where they live to be 150, so they outlive
live us
all.
Yeah, that's the only solution.
Make sure that dogs can live longer than we can. But what a fascinating idea. And we always talk about, why did it take so long? That guy just had that epiphany. Hey, wait a minute. The brains are shaped the same way. They have some of the same issues we do. And they just ramped up this project like 12 years ago. And they're really starting to see it pay off. And they interviewed this woman. I thought this was really interesting, too. She lost her husband to dementia. And she now has an old dog. She's a part of this project. As her dog got older, she entered her dog in the project, and her name is Pat Schultz, and she talks about the struggle she went with her husband and now watching her dog Murphy go through this.
After a long struggle, Pat Schultz's husband Bill died 2 years ago due to complications from Alzheimer's. As part of the dog aging project, she won't know for another few years whether Murphy got the rapamycin or not, but for now, she told us, she's simply focused on making sure they both age as best they can.
You've cared for a human with Alzheimer's. You're caring for a dog in this study who, you know, is aging. What have you noticed in terms of similarities?
The thing I notice is that they both need to be loved and cared for. Just holding Bill's hand and patting his hand was enough just to decrease that anxiety, decrease that fear that, you know, was there.
And that works with Murphy, too.
And that works with Murphy, too.
That was another behavior they showed in dogs, that as they get older and they do start going through dementia, they have anxiety.
Gosh.
They weren't sure which way to go, and so they went back to, you know, their owner and jumped up on them like they didn't want to take part in this survey that they were doing or this drill that they were doing with the dog, this experiment of, you know, could they recognize a shape or something like that. It's really good. It's online. I recommend you watch it. And it just, to me, it shows just how awesome dogs are. They're just the best. You know, you can have, as we've said many times, your worst day, and you go home, and you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't have a bad day. They're just, oh, wow, George is home. This is great. I've been waiting for hours. Where you been? You know, and I wonder if it's like that, even though our brains are the same, if it's like that for them, that every day they're thinking, oh, man, he's left this time for good. I know he's not coming back. What, he's back? Or do they know and expect us to come back? I don't know how that works. But
every time you come back, it's the greatest thing that has ever happened to them.
Yeah, it's a celebration. Heck, yeah. Why don't we do that? Why don't we treat each other like that?
Right.
Why don't every time you guys come in the morning, yes, you're back. It's awesome. I am so glad to see you.
Maybe it is the thing, though, where they think every time you leave, you are gone for good.
Yeah, and I wonder about that.
And when we leave in, you know, at 9 o'clock each day, we know that we're going to see the you two guys again in the morning.
Yeah.
That's a given. But for the dog, nothing is a given.
You know, and I hear other people talking about it. We've had dogs through the years, and they're getting older now. And they go through that conflict of, I'd love the companionship of the dog, but I just don't know if I can go through the heartbreak again. And I don't know if I can go through, they're a lot of work, you know, and when you have to leave town and all that, you have to find proper care for them. So I'm not saying for everybody it is worth it. You know, I know y'all are thinking about getting a dog for your daughter, and she's excited about it. Man, maybe it's not for everybody, but it's so rewarding. It really is. And they're such a big part of your life.
She's excited about it. My wife's excited. I am a little less excited, even though I love dogs too. We always had dogs growing up, and I had one as an adult. But I know all the work will fall to me because
you're going to be picking up poop.
Yes. That's what always happens in every family.
Why is that?
It falls to the dad. I don't know. But yeah, I'll be walking. I'll be in charge of walking, picking up the poop, feeding. Boarding, all of that will fall to me.
Yeah.
Can't tell you how many times I've been sold a bill of goods.
I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. And you won't have to do anything.
And now I do the litter boxes for six cats.
Six?
So that happened.
Yeah. I figured this out the other day that because I started doing that for my parents. I think when I was 15 is when I got, you remember Belle, the English setter, awesome dog, bird dog. And I was 15, and that's when I really started picking up poop. I have been doing that since I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
My boys were supposed to do it as they were growing up, but all right, I'll just go do it myself. They didn't get to it, and they certainly didn't get it all.
Right.
You think they made a conscious effort to get every pile around the backyard? No. They went and picked up one or two piles. Oh, I did it. That'll be good for the day. But it's worth it. To me, it's been worth it, and it's a really interesting study, and it's a cool thing to watch because there's just a lot of similarities between us, humans and dogs, and who knows, it may be the key that finally gets that breakthrough to help us out with something that's just so heartbreaking and dementia.
Fascinating.